Welcome back to your Half Hour to Health with Dr. Mark DiBenedetto. And for those of you who might be new to our show, let me give you a little bit of background about myself. I graduated from Edison High School in New Jersey. That was in 1981. I was a district wrestling champion and still hold the school record for the fastest pin. I went on to Rutgers University, where I continued to wrestle for 4 years. I graduated there in 1985. I was a teaching assistant while I was there. I went on to Palmer College of Chiropractic in Davenport, Iowa. And I graduated there in 1991. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with Palmer College, that's where chiropractic was actually found. It was in Davenport, Iowa. And Palmer College was the first school, and today is considered, if not the best, one of the best chiropractic colleges in the country. I graduated from there with cum laude honors and on the president's list, but I always say I came back from Palmer with something more important. That's where I met my wife, Dr. Tammy DiBenedetto, and we have practiced together since 1991. We've been in practice for 19 years. We own Mifflintown Family Chiropractic. Together, we've successfully treated over 5,000 patients. I'd like to just take a minute and thank everyone who keeps sending me cards, emails. I've run into people even in Walmart and on the street who thank me for the show and say how much they've learned. And keep sending in your questions, and I'll respond to as many of those that come in. And those are also where I get my topics, usually for upcoming shows. So thanks again. If you've missed any of our previous shows, and maybe this is your first one, just go on to our website. That's www.mifflintownchiro, and Chiro is Chiro.com. And if you click on Wellness Library, the first thing you'll see on the drop-down menu is Dr. Mark's radio shows. And when you click on that, you'll have several choices. You can listen to any one of the archive shows right there. You can download it to a CD, burn it. You can put it on an MP3 player and listen to it while you're on the treadmill. You can also take time and sign up for our free email newsletter. Again, right through our website, MifflintownChiro.com. You click on newsletter, and if you click on subscribe, just follow the procedures and we'll get you hooked up. I also have a special offer at the end of the show as a gift for you just for listening. If you listen, though, to what I'm going to tell you, it can change your life because it can change the way you treat your health in the future. And that's my goal. And I want you to know, I just got back from Dallas, Texas. I took a series of seminars on scoliosis. So I thought that is going to be my topic for today, at least for the first half of this show. So the first question many people have is, well, what is scoliosis? They might have heard about it, but they're not really sure what it is. And so let me explain that it's a lateral bending of the curve. Lateral just means side bending. So I want you to picture this. If I look at you straight ahead, you have your skull, you should have 7 neck bones, 12 mid back bones, 5 low back bones, 1 sacrum or tailbone, which is 5 bones fused, and they should all be straight, vertical, right down the line. If it's off in one direction, say it's shaped like a C or even a bowed banana, that could be considered a scoliosis. Or maybe it's an S-shaped curvature where it goes one direction on the top and another direction on the bottom. There are over 100,000 new cases per year. That's the same number as breast cancer. That's over 4.5% of the population. And a recent study showed that over 12% of girls in college had scoliosis. Most cases appear in adolescence. Somewhere between the age of 10 to 17 years of age, we'll find 80% of all the scoliosis curvatures. It affects girls more than boys. And an interesting thing there is up to about 10 years old, the number of girls and boys scoliosis cases are almost identical. But once you hit the age of 10, it's 80% more likely to be in young girls. A lot of research has went in, a lot of thought, maybe it's the hormones, and we'll address some other considerations later. In advanced cases, it can result in severe deformity that may interfere with the heart, the lungs, the nervous system. Such deformities can lead to psychological problems. The kids become just very disturbed knowing that they have this big hump on their back, or they're having difficulty breathing or really just keeping up with the other kids. They know they're different. Nobody knows exactly what causes scoliosis, which is why most cases are deemed idiopathic. Idiopathic just means of unknown origin. However, we do know there are several factors which can be associated with scoliosis. Bone deformity. You know, just imagine your bones look like little squares. Well, what if you have one or even two of them that are shaped like triangles? You could see how if you stack triangles or squares on top of a triangle, it's going to go off in one direction. You can have neurological asymmetry. You can have acting stressors, physical stressors, doing that same thing over and over. Even really poor posture or mattresses can contribute to developing into a scoliosis. You know, a lot of theory now shows that the neck is involved. You know, you should have a beautiful curve in your neck. We're talking now from the side, not straight away. And if you lose that curvature, we have found 100% of scoliosis cases have a military neck or a hypolordosis in their cervical spine, or again, their neck. And what that does is it stretches the spinal cord. And I want you to picture this. If you pull a sock up your leg and you keep pulling it tight, what happens to your toes? That's right, they're going to get kind of scrunched up. It's exactly what happens to your spine. It's actually twisting and contorting to take pressure off that spinal cord. And a lot of research is going into that. But let's talk about the current medical assessment for scoliosis. It sort of goes like this. First, if you have a 10-degree Cobb angle. Now, what's a Cobb angle? It's just the measurements we put on an x-ray to measure the degrees of a scoliosis. And once it hits 10 degrees, that's when it's first deemed a scoliosis. Anything under that is not. They will generally watch and wait until the curve is 25 degrees. And then they'll recommend some form of bracing. One of the newer braces out there is called spine core. It's more like an elastic type of brace, which is more functional than some of the older braces like a Boston or Cope's or Charleston brace. When the curve progresses to between 40 and 45 degrees, spinal fusion surgery is often recommended. That's where they'll put rods along the sides of the spine. So actually implant them. They usually use titanium now. And I tell you, titanium can lead to some possible problems in itself with hypersensitivity or other immunological dysfunctions. It has the potential of abnormal cell proliferation, which could lead to malignant tumors. These are definitely considerations you want to talk about with your surgeon prior to having that done. As high as 50% have to be redone. It poses a high risk of complications. Usually that surgery can last 8, 10 hours, and then 3 days of just laying face down. 40% of operated, treated patients with idiopathic scoliosis were legally defined as severely handicapped. Many patients will come into my office and ask me, will my scoliosis get worse? Well, many doctors state that it will not progress after skeletal maturity. However, it has been known since 1969 that scoliosis can continue to progress during adulthood after skeletal maturity. And besides causing pain and deformity, individuals with scoliosis, life expectancy is decreased by up to 14 years. As a chiropractor, I believe early intervention is our best opportunity at stabilizing and even correcting scoliosis. It just makes sense to me that it would be easier to stabilize a 10-degree curve rather than a 25, 30, or 40-degree curve. So why wait? We have had great success with early intervention. So it starts with the parents. Look at your children. Simply have them stand in front of you. And what I really like them to do, have them just stand natural, relaxed, arms at their side, and close their eyes to take that writing reflex away. Have them bob their head forward and backward twice, and then just look at their shoulders. And if you notice one shoulder's higher than the other, could be an indication of scoliosis. If you notice their fingertips, one goes further down one leg than the other, could be an indicator. Put your hands on the top of their hips. Is one higher than the other? You can also stand behind them, and it's actually best if you sit, and when they bend down, I want you to have them put their hands together, and with their knees straight, bend as far down as like they're trying to touch the ground. And when you look at their back, is there a rib hump? Is there any asymmetry from one side of their back to their other? Better yet, if you're not sure, just bring them in to your local chiropractor to have their spine professionally checked. Do not just depend on a spinal screening performed in school. Too many can be missed. If any postural abnormalities show up, an exam, x-ray should be performed immediately to rule out or confirm scoliosis. A Cobb angle, again, that degree of measurement that we use to measure that curve, should be measured and a recommendation should be made. Just know, great strides have been made and are being made every day in the treatment of scoliosis. Now, with the rest of our time, I wanted to give you a glimpse of what type of cases come into our office. Just the other day, a mother brought me a six-month-old baby. You think, what could be wrong with a baby? How could they have a problem with their spine, right? Well, this cute little girl had colic. For those of you who don't know what colic is, it is when your baby has frequent, uncontrolled crying, especially at night. This condition can be very taxing on the parents. They had taken the child to their medical doctor. He had already prescribed Prilosec and Prevacid with no relief. After examination of this cute little girl, I found a subluxation of C1. That's the top neck bone, and in my opinion, the most important bone in the entire body because of its close proximity to the brainstem. And a subluxation means that that vertebra was shifted or out of alignment. Know this, when a child is born, if he's born or she's born perfectly, they actually, when they rotate the head and grab the head and pull, they can stretch that spinal cord over 1 to 2 inches, almost stretching it like taffy. They can literally get their first subluxation during birth. Then you look at what if there's complications or having difficulty getting the baby out. They used to use forceps. Today they actually use things like it's like an extraction device. It looks like a little plunger that you actually put on the top of the head. And when they pull, kids can come out very stressfully. They can break clavicles. But again, even more stress on that spinal cord. Anyway, in this case, I adjusted that little girl. And I scheduled her for a follow-up visit. On her next visit, the mother told me she was like a new baby and had been sleeping through the night and even eating better. Most people don't even realize that chiropractic has been shown to be beneficial with children with colic. I had another patient come in, and this gentleman was carrying a small container. He asked me if I had ever seen what was inside. So when I opened it up, I saw screws, plates, rods. One of the rods was even broken. It looked like hardware you'd use on your deck. But in this case, I knew what it was. It was actually parts from a back surgery that didn't work. And so he told me his story. This gentleman had had three back surgeries. The first one, they put four screws and two plates in his back to hold his spine stable. They were about 2 to 2.5 inch screws. And after a few years, he had more pain than when he first had the procedure done. So they removed all the screws and plates on the second surgery, and they put steel rods in his back. One of the rods, about 1.5 to 2 years later, broke. So he had to go back in again, and they removed those parts. And they took, oh, we're just going to call it cement, if you will. They actually make this from bone chips from your hip, and they fused him from L3 all the way down to his sacrum. Now, you have five low backbones, so that means they fused his third to his fourth to his fifth, and his fifth to his sacrum. Just know, this is why most surgeries fail, is because the body now has to adapt and compensate to what they do. If you take away a motor unit, okay, the area above and below is next to fail. And it becomes a domino effect. I have a government study, and what they did is they studied back pain. This was put out by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. And this is what they said on the chapter on back surgery. Even having a lot of back pain does not by itself mean you need surgery. Surgery has been found to be helpful in only 1 in 100 cases of low back problems. Now, I'm going to repeat that because I think people have no idea how low your odds are of coming out of a back surgery without a problem. Surgery has been found to be helpful in only 1 in 100 cases of low back problems. And then it goes on to say, in some people, surgery can even cause more problems. This is especially true if your only symptom is back pain. Well, I think we can help this gentleman. He's definitely going to have to listen to what I tell him, but I think between our procedures and therapy, we can get him stable. Let me tell you about the last case I saw right before I went to Dallas, Texas. We were really busy on that day because I had to catch my plane. So we were only scheduled till noon, about 12 o'clock. And we had a couple of new patients and a lot of our regular patients scheduled in there. And we get a phone call from a mother. And she was upset because her 15-year-old daughter was in severe pain. She had low back pain, hip pain, leg pain, and was in tears. I could only picture my own daughter, who's also 15, in that much pain. And I just told her to bring her down at 12 o'clock, and I knew I would still make it to my plane. When they brought her down, she was a sweet kid. And after exam and x-ray, we found that she actually had scoliosis. And I don't have the x-ray right in front of me, but if I remember, it was between 25 and 28 degree curvature. They were upset to see that. But I felt confident that we could help her. We did therapy. We adjusted her. She felt better. I gave her instructions for the weekend. She was one of the first patients then I saw on Monday. And when I came back from the seminar, she was doing a lot better. And today, she's almost pain-free. And I really took that as almost a message from God that I was doing the right thing and going to this seminar, because we see so many, particularly again, young girls who come into the office with scoliosis and don't even know it. This was an active girl, softball player. Very sad. But we'll get her back to doing everything she enjoys doing. You know, the body is remarkable. It's always trying to heal itself. And I like to look at it as almost three parts, that we have a mind, a body, and a spirit. But the mind is very interesting to me. You know, where is it? A lot of people would say, well, it's in the brain, Dr. Mark. Well, where? I mean, we can't measure it. We can't see it. I mean, we've studied the brain. We could put pins in all these areas and we can say this one's for your memory and this is for your breathing. And but yet, where is the mind? How does the brain know what to do? You know, I think back to the Bible and when God blew into the nostrils of the first human being. Well, he wasn't blowing in air, right? God doesn't need air. He was blowing in the breath of life. And that is our gift from God. It's called innate intelligence, our body's ability to know what it needs to do to function. And what we do know is that all that information travels through your nervous system and can be interfered with by a subluxation or bone at a place choking on a nerve. But if you go back to antiquity, I mean, 2,000 years before Christ, B.C., all healing was done by balancing the body. I mean, it seems funny to think of the shaman and the witch doctor, but they didn't give medicine. They would do their dance and their chants and, you know, their prayers. And what they were doing was trying to balance the body. And balance what? Well, they felt you would only be sick if you were out of balance, and you'd be healthy if you were in balance. Even Indians thought there was a great spirit, right? This creator that made everything, the earth, the moon, the sun, and everything's in perfect balance, right? Just think, if the sun was just a few miles more away from us, we'd freeze. A few miles closer, we'd burn up. You know, the earth was considered the mother because it housed everything we need to live. We didn't really get into trying to heal people until we start to bring in mixtures like bark from trees and leaves. So we started to notice that there was great medicinal properties in these items. So they would come to you and make mixtures, but they never really thought they healed you. What they thought they were doing was balancing the body. Even when you go to Chinese medicine, acupuncture, you talk about the yin and the yang. It's all about balancing the body. How did we get so far away from that thought? You know, when I think about how we treat disease today, we're always trying to treat the part. The liver gets sick, we try to fix the liver. If the blood pressure's high, we try to lower it. So blood pressure's low, we try to elevate it. You know, think of just the common cold. You know, we treat it like it's this great disease. Well, first of all, I don't know why they call it a cold, because you usually get a fever, which makes you hot. But anyway, if you get a cold, let's break it down. You get a fever. Well, what's a fever do? A fever, by increasing your body temperature, slows down the viruses or the bacteria so that your white blood cells can catch it and kill it. By lowering it, by taking medication, you're actually increasing the time that you get sick. If you have diarrhea, I know it's a terrible thing to talk about, right? But your body is trying to get rid of something that's it thinks is like a poison. But what do? Because we don't want diarrhea, we try to plug it up and keep the poisons in. Same thing if you have vomiting. We have a runny nose. It's your body working. It's trying to collect all the virus and bacteria that the white blood cells are killing and extract it out the nearest hole. But we don't want to do that, so we try to dry it up so the body can't work. The body is nearly trying to save itself in almost every instance. And with all our infinite wisdom, we keep thinking we're smarter. And as I often say, you know, it's why every medicine has a side effect. You can't put a man-made drug in a God-made body and not expect a side effect. Unleash the power that's within you, those trapped nerve impulses that we know were implanted there from the day we were born to control every muscle, organ, tissue, and fiber in your body. But just know 1 gram of pressure from a bone being out of place can interfere with that. And if you suffer from things like we talked about today, scoliosis, if you know a child who has colic, if you suffer from back or neck pain, if you've had a failed back surgery, if you're just tired all the time, and most important, before you even get a symptom, get checked by a chiropractor. So as I promised, I have a special offer for all of you who took the time to listen to me today. We have opened 5 new patient appointments in our office. So if you are one of the first 5 who call today, you will receive a comprehensive chiropractic exam and any necessary x-rays, thermography scan, range of motion study, and posture evaluation for just $27. That would normally cost $160. So call 436-9017. That's 436-9017. And again, 436-9017. This might just be the most important checkup you have ever had. So until next time, live with passion, and we will be with you in 2 weeks for your next Half Hour to Health.